Hallelujah. That's, you know, ain't it, it's good when you come into God's house and just have a good time and laugh. And but I've been in some churches that you go in and complete silence. Complete silence. And you look around and you say, "What in the world am I at? Am I at Ren Yates? Or am I at Sway School of Town?" Could be complete quiet until I get in there, until I get up there. And when I get up there and start preaching, hey, I let it rip. And I preach to them, they'll start laughing. I said, "Well, you can laugh, can't you?" Oh, me, I tell you. It's good to know the Lord. I tell you, it is. It really is. Really, I really don't know where I'm going right now because I don't forget. Oh, yeah. In the book of Amos. The book of Amos. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then Amos, and then John. It's Hosea, then Amos, and then Nahum. No, right before Jonah. Before Obadiah, excuse me. I'll get here in a minute. All righty. But, what I'm going to be looking at, I'm going to be looking tonight at in chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading a little over that in chapter 7. I mean, we're going to be then in chapter 8. I said in chapter 6, but chapter 8. We just need to remember that everything that we do and everything that we have to look for on earth, we can find it here in God's Word. We know in God's Word it has the different times of the season. It has the speaks of winter, it speaks of spring, it speaks of summer, and it speaks of fall. But now we got to look at, well, I'm going to look at two different things tonight, excuse me, two different things tonight. And the first one is over here in chapter 7 in the book of Amos. And then in verse 5 it says, "Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repenteth for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto him, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord, said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuary of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise again in the house of Jehoiakim with the sword." Then in chapter 8, in verse 1 through verses 3, says, thus saith the Lord God, show unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be howling in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we can be in thy house tonight. And Father, that we can be under the wings, Father, of the eagle tonight. And Lord, we know, Father, that you have the wings that's going to protect us. And Father, we thank you for the hedge that you're going to put around each and every one of us tonight, Father. And Father, that will protect us from Satan and all of his adversaries, Father. We know that Satan is trying to tear this church down. We know that Satan is really trying to tear each one of us down. But Lord, Father, we just want to thank you that it's not going to happen, because we're going to claim the blood because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done there at Calvary so many years ago. Father, we thank you for that precious blood. Now, Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you go with us. Help us, Father, that we may speak the very words, Father, that you'd have us to speak. And Lord, I pray, Father, you'll open each one of our hearts of the understanding of thy word as you speak to us. And Father, we just want to thank you and we want to love you, because it's on this side of eternity that we can just praise your wonderful and holy name. Amen and amen. We see over here in chapter 7 where Amos is talking about, really in verse chapter 6 and everything. And before that, we can go back to the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah went about rebuilding the wall. And no doubt, Amos right here was probably in the same time frame as when Nehemiah was building the wall. Because Amos, the Lord God had given Amos a plumb line. Do you know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is a piece of metal, a heavy metal that has a point on the end of it. And it's got a string tied to it. And you take that plumb line, and you can take it and you can let it go down, and when it stops swinging, you can bet you what it's up against is going to be level. What it's up against is going to be horizontal. It's going to be completely in order. And the Lord, I believe, the Lord God has a plumb line on each one of our lives, that when we go out here and we do something for the Lord, that he takes that plumb line to our life. And he will take that plumb line and he will take it and he will use it for his honor and his glory, where he can be lifted up from it, because we know that the plumb line has a purpose. Everything here in God's word, everything that I've ever spoken about, everything that I've ever read in God's word, it has a certain purpose for it. It has a purpose. It has a purpose in my life. It has a purpose in your life. And it also has the purpose in the lives of the people that's out here tonight that's lost. And for the people that's out here just going here and there, going to Walmart, going to Target, going to all these different places. Yes, the Lord has the plumb line on their life also. But they're not willing to give in to the Lord. They're not willing to say yes unto him. They're willing to say yes to the devil. And they may not think that they do, but they do. If they don't, if they straddle the fence, Nine times out of ten, the way they're going to go, they're going to go the way of the world. They're going to go the way of the devil. And that's the reason I thank God that he has a plumb line for my life. He has a plumb line for your life, that we can stand up straight and he can take that plumb line and he can take it and he can dangle it upon each one of our lives and see if we're standing straight. See if we're standing straight and if we're doing his work with the plumb line. We need to have the plumb line in our life. And over here in the book of Amos, it says, down here it says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. He has a plumb line in the midst of Faith Baptist Church. He has placed a plumb line to where we will not waver one bit. We will not get out of his will, that we will not get out and start doing some of the other things, because that plumb line can tell him some things if we're not standing straight. If I'm not standing straight, if I'm not preaching God's word, then I'm not standing straight. I do not have the plumb line upon my life. And if you are not doing what God has asked you to do, and if you're not willing to go out here and do something a little extra for the Lord, then you got to watch out, because maybe your plumb line, maybe the string that's holding that plumb bob on the end is what it's called, a plumb bob on the end, a weight, and it has a point to it. Has a point just like this pen has right here. It has a point on it. So when that plumb line, when it gets down, it can go all the way down. I can take it, and where that little finish nail is right there, I can take a plumb line, and I can go from right here. And I can put that plumb line, and I can take that plumb line, and I may have to move it around a little bit to where I can get it centered on that nail. But when I center it on that finished nail there, you can just about guarantee it's going to be straight up. It's not going to dangle one side or the other. You're not going to have no magnifier that will take it away from that finished nail. Do we have the magnet of the world on our life that pulls us away from God? Do we? We have to watch out in the different things that we do, that if it doesn't pull us away from the things of the Lord. Now we know that I believe it was in December. It was December the 21st, I believe. It was the first day of winter. What does a winter represent in God's word? It represents that it is killing out all the bugs, all the insects, and it's preparing the land for that land to be frozen, to prepare that land to when spring comes about.
And when spring comes about, spring will thaw the land out. And you've got the land that's in order. And you can go out there, and what happens during springtime? That is when individuals, that's when people, that's when farmers get the land in order. They'll get the land in order, they'll go out there and they'll plow it. They'll go out there and they'll have a two-bottom plow, and they'll plow that land. And they'll turn that land over to where they got a ditch right down it. God's word speaks of that. Talking about Christ. Talking about when he was there and when he took the beating upon his back. When they tied him to that pole there and when they beat his back. They beat him to where you could not recognize him. That's what God's word says. That you could not even recognize him. And they said that his back was like a furrow. What they was talking about, like a furrow in the, when they're plowing the land. It left deep gush marks, or whatever you want to call it, in his skin. It opened his skin up to where you could see the bones. Where you could see the bones of his body. But it did not break. None of his bones. And they never broke his bones. It was not ever a bone broken in the Lord Jesus Christ. That would assure that. That was one of God's covenant back in the book of Deuteronomy. Said that no bone will ever be broken. His legs will not be broken. And when he hung on the cross, what did they do? They planted the crown there on his head. They pushed the crown down where the thorns went into the skull and where blood just come out and started running down his forehead. Then they took the nails and they drove it into his hand, into his wrist there, on both of his wrists. And then they took and they crossed his legs. And when he crossed his legs, they took where his feet was at. And they took that one nail and drove it between before, drove it into both of his feet. At the same time, they did not use a separate nail. Because if they used two nails there, and then when they pierced his side, he would have had six scars. Now, the number six, speaking of the devil, speaking of the world. But see, they done exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. They've done exactly what the Father in heaven told them in to do. See, God told them what to do. They said they had a priest there. They had a magistrate there that was telling them, giving them the orders to do and how to put him to death. He may have given out the orders. But where did he get the orders from? God Almighty. That's the reason he went to the cross. That's the reason he came to earth. He came to earth to fulfill the wishes of his Father. To fulfill every obligation that his Father had put on him. But as he was hanging there, what was going through his mind? Do you think he was going through his mind to, Father, I don't know what to do now. help me. No, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Father, for the other individual that's going to be born later on, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. And that's what his blood represents. His blood represents the love of God. It also represents the promises of God. It also represents the belief. And believing that God was going to do what he commanded his son he was going to have to do. Now, can you imagine? Now, I'm going to put myself in. I'm not trying to belittle the Lord or anything else. But I just say myself. I'm going to put myself in God's shoes right now, in a moment. Just say for a moment. And I had a son. And if I had a son, I got a daughter, but if I had a son, and I'm out here in the world walking around, and I see people out here that don't care anything about life, don't even care anything about their neighbors, don't even care anything about their family. And yes, and I have one of my followers, they follow me. They follow me when I go out and visit. They follow me when I go into someone's home. But yet then when I take them back to where we met up at, and they go on their way, and I go on my way, then they're going to be stopped. They may have to stop at the service station. They may have to stop at the grocery store to pick up something for the wife. But when they do, they're liable to come back and say, that individual you was with this afternoon when y'all was like visiting, and visiting that family, won't he? Someone that you know personally? Won't he the Father's Son? And let's come back and say, no, that won't me. That won't me. They died. Now you think about it now. It sounds like it's kind of foolish of me talking about something like that. But did you realize that happens every single day? We can go out here, we can go visit someone, and then we can go to the service station to get some gas, just as when we leave the individual's home. But then they will come to us and say, well, did you go down and visit them? I'll tell you, I don't mind where you went down there. Them people down there, I mean, they so rotten. I don't want you went down there for, because they ain't going to lie to you. Hey, am I any better than Peter? No. Peter lied. He lied to the people he come in contact with. But the summer now, spring right now, is
almost on us. I think somebody says the 20th of this month. It's when spring comes about. Spring is when we start preparing the field. What that tells me is spring is supposed to prepare us as individuals, as Christians, prepare us for the summertime. What is the summertime represent? It's talking about right here. It says in verse 2, well, in verse 1 and 2, here in chapter 8 in the book of Amos, says, thus saith the Lord God, show unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come. Upon my people Israel, I will not again pass by them anymore. Summertime. What does summertime represent? Summertime represents the bright sunlight. It represents that we can go and we can go down a highway and we can stop at the somebody where it may have some vegetables on the side of the road that they are selling or may give away. Or we may be planting a garden and then when we go pick it. Because see the garden, the fruit that's been planted, the seeds that are being planted in the garden, snaps, butter beans, tomatoes, and all of that, that's not going to come forth in the middle of spring. That's going to come right after summertime starts. Why? Because of the heat. Because of the heat from the sunlight comes down and heats the ground. Where the ground had been frozen at one time, and then the ground was being thawed out. But now the heat comes and bursting out upon the ground. You may see in the latter part of the spring when you'll see some evidence where the seed has been planted. You can see them just bust up. You can see the ground just crack. Have you ever seen them? Have you ever seen right before the butter beans or the corn or whatever's coming up before it comes up? The dirt that's over them will crack. The dirt will crack. Because see, if it didn't crack, it's not going to come up. Then what is it going to do? It's going to die. It's going to rot right there in the ground. If it does not come forth, if his land does not crack. See, that's the opening for that seed to come forth. That's the opening. Summertime is an opening for the Christians to go out here and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must stay busy all during the summertime. We must always stay busy doing the Lord's work, whether it's in the summertime or the fall or winter or spring. In the wintertime, when it's cold, when they may not be able to go out because of the cold weather. But we can take that time to study up, to study. Seek God's will a little more and ask the Lord to help us with the days ahead of us. Because see, if we don't ask Him to help us in the days that we go forth,
If we don't ask him, he's not going to help us. He's not going to help us if we don't ask him. What did he say in the book of Matthew? I think it's chapter 7, I believe it is. It says, ask, seek, and then knock. The very first word is ask. That means that we must talk to the Lord. We must ask him to help us. And we must seek his guidance. We must seek his guidance as we go forth to the destination that he has set our path on. Then we had the word knock. We already asked the Lord to help us. We already asked the Lord to give us a place to go to understand his word a little better. Now we're traveling. We're seeking out the place that he wants us to go. But if we ask, and if we seek, and if we stop right there, what are we going to do? We're going to get to our destination where the Lord wants us to go, and we're going to stop. We're going to sit in the automobile. We're going to sit down. We're not going to do nothing else. We're not going to do nothing else. No. What does it tell us then? That we must go to the door and knock. We must go to the door and knock. To where the individual that is at home, if they're at home, they will come and open the door. And then it's up to them if they invite us in or not. And it's up to them if they're going to slam the door in our face. And it's going to be up to them if they seek the dog on us. And it's going to be up to them if they pull a gun on us or a knife. It's going to be up to them. But we done done what the Lord has asked us to do. Ask, seek, and knock. Think about it now. Ask, the letter A. Seek, the letter S. Knock, the letter K. Does it all come down to? We must go to the Lord and we must ask. That's the first thing that we must do. We must ask and we must seek him out and what he wants us to do. And there's summer fruit. Then we can see the summer fruit, the summer harvest come forth. Why? Because we was faithful to God. And his word says if we are faithful to him over a little things, over just a little things, if we're faithful to him for that, then he'll be faithful to us over much. Over much. That's where they come in with that, the song or what that is talking about. Little as much. When God is in it. Yes, it may look little to us. It may look like there's no way under the sun that it's going to happen. But see, the Lord, he looks at the bigger picture. Whole lot of times we think that we're looking at the bigger picture, but we're not looking at the bigger picture. We're looking at the smaller picture. And not only that, it would defeat us in our faith. It would defeat us in our walk with the Lord. And how many of you this week
want to go one day without the Lord being with you? You don't want to. You know the reason you don't want to? I can tell you the reason that you don't want to go a day without the Lord. You know the reason? It's because He first loved you and then you fell in love with Him. That's all He's all about, is love. That's what He's about, is love. That's what we need to be about. We need to be about love also. We must love our neighbors as ourselves. We must love the individual that despitefully uses us. And how many of do you know that uses the church? People I hear all the time is using the church to get something that they are not willing to work for. And I know some people that they can't work. I understand that. But too, the thing about it is, it's always help I hear from somebody else. Yes, the church can help a little. Some churches can help a lot. But it doesn't make no difference. The tabernacle up here, they could probably help a family that's lost everything that they got in a fire. And they can give them a whole lot to help them out. And the Lord will bless them for that. But then we can give just a little because of what we have. The Lord will bless just as much on that little as it does on the individual that gets a lot. Little as much when God is in it. I love Him tonight more than anything that I know of. And I do ask for y'all's prayers every day. I need it. We all need each other's prayers. We really do. I just don't know what I would do if I had to go 1 week and not coming to church. And then I was able to come. I was able to get up out of the bed. I'm able to walk, able to think, able to hear, able to see, able to speak, and then not come to the house of the Lord. I just don't know what I would do. Why? I don't know nothing else. Any different. I don't know nothing else to do. I mean, it's just where, that's the way, you know, I am. That's the way that He built me, I reckon, that when He saved me, He said, now I want you to serve me. And that's just like anything else. And I am going to close with this, I promise.
That even before I got saved, When I went out here and done anything, when I went out here and I done some cabinet work or cabinet building for somebody else, I made sure that I give them the best product. I took my time and built what they wanted. I did not cut no corners. That's the way I was made from the beginning. And when the Lord saved me, He wanted me to be in His house. He wanted me to do something for Him. That's the way He made me. And if I'd done anything different, I would be thinking about, well, oh man, Lord, I know, but I thought you were going to allow me to work up until the day that you come. Are you coming back this evening? That's what I'd be feeling like. Which is not a bad feeling. And knowing it could be the day the Lord comes back. It's what He speaks about over in the book of Titus. The great God. We can look for His appearing. We must look for His appearing. If we don't, then something is wrong with us. It's not that, and I get accused a whole lot of this, that I will be talking to somebody and I said, I'll be so glad when the Lord comes. I just sing for Him to come back today. They says, no, not today. We don't want you to leave today. Hey, I don't want to leave. But I'm ready to meet Him. I'm ready to meet Him. And just like I am right now. If the Lord was to take me home right now, I'd be tickled to death. I'd be glad. And do you think when I went through the pearly gates there, do you think honestly that when I stand before my Lord and I say, Lord, I really didn't think you was going to come back after me as quick as you did. Lord, can I go back home? I got a little more work to do. Do you honestly think that I'd want to come back to Danville, Virginia? Do you honestly think that I'd want to leave heaven and to come back here? Not me. You may want to, not me. Because I'm going to have a time up there. We're all going to have a grand time. Now, Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And, Father, we do thank You, Lord, for what You have spoken to our hearts about tonight. And, Lord, for that plumb line, Lord, I pray that You'll keep that plumb line upon us. And, Father, that we can take that plumb line and, Lord, You can shape our lives into what You want it to be, Father. So when we do go into the summertime, we can be able to fill our baskets with the fruit. But Father, I do know that what fruit You're talking about. You're not talking about the fruit that's on the apple tree or the oranges or the pineapple tree. You're talking about the fruits of our lives through the people that we come in contact with that needs to be saved. Lord Jesus, help us. Help me, full Father. Help each one of us to stay true to Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.